So let me open in prayer, and then we'll agree in prayer for Wesley. So, Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for everybody on the call. And Lord, we thank you for Jesus and the powerful word and the truth that's found in your word. May we be more aware of that today, and may we study your word with great intensity, that we may prosper in the days ahead, regardless of what takes place. And we ask this now in Jesus' name, Amen. Before I begin, I just want to lift up Wesley in prayer because, boy, that he needs it. And Lord God, your word says that if any two of you come together and agree on anything, it shall be done for them. And so, Lord, we all agree for the health, restoration, and well-being of Dusty son Wesley. He continues to battle, but Lord, you continue to perform miracles on his behalf. And you continue to repair things in his body. And Lord, we want to thank you for that. And Lord, we appeal to you again that your work would continue in his body, that he would continually be restored, that his systems would come to life and all be in perfect sync and design as you designed them. Let there be miracle after miracle. Lord, give the attending medical staff insight as to what needs to get done. Let them see things clearly as you lead them, Lord, to be your hands and feet, in that room and for the benefit of Wesley. Lord, we lift him up. We thank you for your miraculous power and wisdom and miracle working power that's taking place right now. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So, this month, I was kind of doing the usual thing and going before the Lord, and the Lord gave me this phrase, prospering within the Babylonian financial system. And then there was kind of a subtext to that, especially when it seems like the squeeze is on. So, there's two scriptures that actually three that come to mind. And I want to start there. So the first one is, Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, defeat, guide, and shield me. I shall not lack. The second scripture is, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the uncompromisingly righteous forsaken, or their seed begging bread. And then the third scripture is found in Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. And I read it out of the Amplified because that's the one version that really, clearly states, the Lord, how the Lord looks at us. So it reads, let your character of moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and the craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not, in any degree, leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. Now, I don't know of a verse in the Bible that is more definitive in how that's stated. That's pretty clear. So this is the sense I had this month as I was like leaning into this topic of prospering within the Babylonian financial system. We're going to see things probably in the days ahead, certainly in 2026, that could startle us, that could take us by surprise, That could startle us to the degree that we move out of faith and we move over a little bit in fear. And I feel like the Lord wants us to be grounded and reminded that we are to look to Him in all circumstances, regardless of what's taking place around us. One thing that kind of brought that home was an article that I read recently, and it was authored by the CEO, the Microsoft AI CEO, who's talking about AI in the workforce. And he states in this article that within the next 12 to 18 months, there will be huge workforce replacements of people that had white collar positions that are now going to be relieved, terminated, suspended, and they're going to be replaced with aspects of AI. AI is coming pretty strong, pretty powerfully. It's in, many industries. Many companies are adapting it because if you can have essentially have a machine do something and not have a person do it, it improves your bottom line tremendously. And so there's a lot of companies that are going in that direction. And that's one thing that we're not supposed to like look at and be startled. I went on the Bureau of Labor Statistics website today, and I looked at the I looked at the job adds and the job subtracts, across the country, and they're about equal right now. We would probably be looking at a significant number of job terminations had it not been for, some of the things that the current administration is doing to promote business. So there's some job expansion going on, but there's an awful lot of job shrinkage that's going on. So let's go back to I think where the Lord wants us to focus. And I want to start with like a question. For all of us, we have all been in financial pinches at some point in our life. And we all have, stories to tell. And so this is not, new. There's nobody out there that hasn't gone through some financial challenges in their life. But where the Lord brought me in this was, really two, sections in the Bible, two scriptures. The first one is in 2 Corinthians 9, and it was when Paul was talking to the Corinthians, and he was thanking them for the generous gift that they were about ready to give him. So he talks about giving, and these are the things that he mentioned in that scripture in 2 Corinthians. Number one, we reap what we sow financially. We are to give from our heart, not from our head. We are not to feel obligated to give, but we're supposed to give from our heart, where it's a real desire for us to contribute to the expansion of the kingdom. God is our source and is able in every situation to make all grace and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. Our deeds of justice, goodness, and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. God provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, increasing the fruit of our righteousness. And we will be enriched in every way so that we can even be more generous. And then the last point is being generous towards others actually gives thanksgiving to God Himself. It's a form of thanksgiving giving to the Lord. So that was all in 2 Corinthians 9. Jesus spoke about money and the monetary system in Matthew 25. Now, this is real interesting. Matthew 25, I had read for years, and you guys know all the stories. There's three parables of Matthew 25. The virgins, the talents, and the least of these. Okay, so there's three separate parables. When you read Matthew 25, it's one continuous dissertation by Jesus. It's not like he tells one parable and then there's a question and answer period with the disciples or anybody else, where he would stop and explain things and then go on to the next parable. This is one long dissertation. So, as I have studied this, I have been led to believe that the entire chapter in Matthew 25 is about money. It begins with an intimate relationship with Jesus that is a starting point.
You mean with the virgins?
With the 10 virgins.
Yeah.
Yes, that's about intimacy.
Okay.
All right. Then from there, the next parable is about the talents and the faithful or unfaithful servants. And then the third parable is, serving and attending to the least of these. And so what I have been led to believe as I study this is that it's all about money, and it's a godly perspective as opposed to a human perspective. See, on earth, money is the thing. In heaven, money is not the thing. And so I have a very strong sense that Jesus wanted to straighten this whole money thing out with the people and his disciples. So he gave this long dissertation, about starting with the 10 faithful, the 10 virgins, the five faithful ones, and the five that were not. What's interesting on that first parable is they all knew Jesus. All 10 knew Jesus. When the five came back and knocked on the door, Jesus said, "Go away, and I don't know you." So intimacy is a very important first piece of this money equation. And then you go on to the second part of it, which is what do we do with what the Lord has put in our hands? How faithful are we to have it generate a return and to apply that to the kingdom? And then the third thing is it's almost like the third thing is the high prize, which is taking the intimacy, building on that intimacy, understanding your talents, moving your talents over into the point where you can attend to the least of these. And so my sense is that Jesus told that to reorient people correctly towards money. And I feel like, in that parable, the Heavenly Father is saying, come with me. I want you to help others come to know and then receive the redemptive love of my son Jesus, so that they invite him into their hearts as their personal savior. And I'm thinking, that should be the objective in our life. Money is just an instrument that helps us get there. Our whole focus should not be about money and piling money up. So let me circle back now to the financial stress in life that people go through from time to time. It's real. It's not pretend. It's a real thing that people are challenged with from time to time. And one of the reasons we get there, we find ourselves in that position, and I can speak from personal experience, is that we learn about money through our life experiences that have provided either pleasure or pain through the exchange of money. And so, some people grow up in families where they're taught the money principles early on, and they're like taught to save, and they have this very, healthy perspective of money, and they learn it at an early age, and they apply the principles, and they are less challenged with some of these money principles. Now, I grew up in a family where that wasn't necessarily the case. Grew up in a good family. My mom and dad, did a great job, but they didn't sit us down and kind of hammer this one home. We were taught to be responsible. We were taught to do the right thing and have a savings account and things like that. So we did that. But then once I left that nest and was out on my own, I kind of, forgot a lot of those things and kind of went in the wrong direction. So I know what it's like to be financially pinched and trying to figure out, how to get out of debt and make more money. And it's always kind of like a problem. So, one error that I made as I was going through that is I really didn't submit my life to the Lord. And I tried to be the master of myself and my situation, and I never humbled myself to the point where I asked the Lord to forgive me and set me on the right path. So I think a good starting point, and probably this could be for us all, whether you're financially pinched or not, is to have a renewed perspective of the function of money, how it works in the kingdom, and how we're supposed to trust Jesus for our well-being. So, but with that said, I sat down and I crafted a prayer that I think would be, applicable for anybody and everybody that wants to correctly, reorient their life towards the kingdom, towards the Lord, and have a healthy respect for what the Lord gives us and how to correctly use it, going forward. So this is the prayer that I crafted that I think the Lord gave me. So I'm just going to read it. Lord God Almighty, I've made a mess out of what you put in my hands and entrusted to me. I'm in a ditch and cannot get out without a rich supply of your grace and mercy in my life. I repent for my errant ways. I ask you now to forgive me, putting me back on the right path that you had always intended for me. Give me a new and fresh perspective on money. Help me to see money for what it is and how money's to be used, so that with my new effort and change of heart, you are honored and your kingdom expands here on earth. As a demonstration of my changed heart in this area of my life, I commit to looking at every financial situation through the truth found in your word, where my part then includes being diligent in doing the right thing, trusting in your plan for my life, and holding the unwavering belief that you are my shepherd, and subsequently I shall not want. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So if I wish somebody would have tapped me on the shoulder 40 years ago and said, "Hey, I think you got something to learn here. You seem to be spinning your wheels and going in the wrong direction. Jim, why don't you give up on yourself and humble yourself and give it all to the Lord and ask for his guidance?" So that I'm kind of thinking back what I went through. And I wish I would have prayed something like this, several decades ago. But we all kind of live and learn as we go through life, and this is what I've learned. Now I've learned that the Lord is extremely faithful, especially when we put all our trust in Him, And when I say all our trust, I'm talking about 100%. I'm not talking about 98 and holding back on, 2% and tinkering with things and helping the Lord along. That doesn't mean we don't do the right thing. Yes, we do do the right thing, but we don't worry about the result. We don't try to engineer the results. The Lord is in charge of that. And he will be honored in the process and bring us through. And his word says so. So I hope this kind of makes sense. And I think it's for everybody. I don't think it's for just people like being challenged right now financially. I think it's for everybody because I think we're going to see things in the days ahead that are going to challenge our thinking. And it's going to challenge, uh-oh, like, what do we do now? And I think the Lord really wants us trusting in him, like right now for everything, every little detail in our life. So when like the storm comes, we will be less moved. We won't be moved.
Amen.
So any thoughts about this? Any guys have any comments?
Yeah, Jim, would you mind reading in the Amplified that promise again? Because I think for me, that helps with my trust factor
Yeah,
in.
and I'd be happy to, John. It's Hebrews 13 verses 5 and 6 in the Amplified. And it reads, "Let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you, assuredly not." And then in verse 6, it goes on to say, "So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me?" And so when we declare this and stand on this word and declare this word, we're gonna move all our concern over to the Lord, and we're gonna make our problems his problems. We're gonna not carry them, okay? So that I think if we can learn to do that and pray that and stand on his word and just literally shove all of our concerns over to him and go, "Lord, you're my shepherd. Your word says that I shall not want. I won't lack anything. I'm gonna depend upon you. I'm going to stand on that word. I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to act like it." So this is actually your problem now, not mine.
That's good, Jim.
Yeah.
So we
So,
need to believe
and I
that.
think, I think for everybody I think this is for everybody, because I'm really sensing very strongly that we're going to see some shift in a bunch of stuff that's going to like rattle us. It's gonna shake us a bit. We're gonna see it, we're gonna experience it, and it's gonna be so out of the norm that we're gonna go, "Uh-oh," And I think we have to remember that the Lord's our source, he's a provider, and he's gonna provide. He's the creator, he created us, so.
Thank you, Jim. A lot of it seems to be hooked on the intimacy factor,
Yeah.
knowing that God's been there all our lives and he's not going to let us down here at this particular point when it doesn't look pretty.
Yeah, imagine the Lord saying, "John, I helped you out quite a bit in the past. You kind of about used up your entire supply that I had for you. Good
Yeah.
luck with the rest of your life.
Right.
That's good.
That's what the enemy wants to say to me.
That's what he is saying. He's such a liar.
Yeah,
Yeah,
right.
the Lord is infinite with his supply, infinite, right? And the truth be told, when the storm hits, we're designed to be the light on the hill. We are supposed to reflect Jesus to the degree that people want to know what is it that you have? I know we're going to be called to help the least of these. I know that. So I think we got just have to like get this done now.
And I think another nugget that's in those three parables, when you talk about the parable of the talents and the one who had it all taken away because he was basically scared and saw the master, which would be, of course, seeing Jesus or God as the big bad, shrewd, mean boss. And so, I mean, I'm just saying, starting with myself, like piggybacking off of the urgency with which you bring this message, which is it's a great time. There's no better time than today to say, okay, you know what? Maybe I get angry or maybe I have issues because I had a big bad boss or a big bad dad or a big bad someone in my life, and maybe I don't even know it, but I'm reacting out of that. And when things get shaken, that's just going to get harder. And so I just think there's such a grace right now to for you know just I don't know just get the perspective that the servants who trusted the master, the intimacy
Yeah,
brings that, right?
absolutely, absolutely.
It's really good.
And Kim, that middle parable about the talents. There's another verse that parallels that, and I would just read it the other day, and it's pretty interesting. It's Mark 4, and it's verse 24, and I'm reading this one out of the Passion. This is Jesus talking. Then he said to them, "Be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear, for as you do, more understanding will be given to you. And according to the depth of your longing to understand, much more will be added to you. For those who listen with open hearts will receive more revelation, but those who don't listen with open hearts will lose what little they have." And I'm not the revelation. The word is the revelation, right? So here's what I would encourage everybody to do. Go back and read all of Matthew 25. Read it continuously as one long dissertation, and allow the Holy Spirit to join you in that scripture study, and listen to what the Holy Spirit will now speak to you about that scripture, that dissertation by Jesus, which I think, and I'm pretty convinced the whole thing is about money. And it's like Jesus is saying, you guys have the money thing wrong. You got the money thing wrong. It's a means of exchange. It's how things kind of operate, but you're looking at it wrong, you know? It all starts with intimacy. Then it goes to a seriousness about, the talents, everything that's been put in your hand. And then it's you're not building wealth for yourself. You're building, wealth for the kingdom and serving the kingdom. And ultimately, like serving the least of these. So, I think I feel like the Holy Spirit is directing us to do that. Read Matthew 25, read it, one long dissertation, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and just see what he says. See how the conversation goes with the Lord, you know? Does that make sense?
Yes.
And then, like next time we ought to do testimonies. I would love to hear what you discovered with the Lord as you pressed into this. I'd love to hear that.
Jim, can I pipe in with something here?
Sure.
Along those lines, godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy 6:6
There you go.
says about that in this particular commentary. Means that a deep, reverent relationship with God, paired with satisfaction in his provision, yields far greater lasting and eternal value than material wealth.
So good. Wow.
Perfect, John. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
That's good.
So I think we're, it's like batting practice right now, okay? But the game's going to start soon. So let's be ready. Well, anybody else have any thoughts or questions? All right. Well, listen. Guys, I'll let you go. And I'm serious. I would love to hear some testimonies next month about what the Lord shared with you on that. So, all
Amen.
right. So until that time, let me close in prayer here. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We love your word. We know the power of your word. Help us to understand the true power of your word, the revelation that comes through your word, the revelation that comes from heaven, the revelation that we need for the days ahead. Lord, let us always look to you as our source, and let not man be our source, but you be our source. Lord, let us be so steeped in this understanding that come what may, we will not be moved, and we will become the light on the hill as you intended us to be for such a time as this. And we ask this all now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen. All right, guys. Well, have a good rest of the February. Hope it warms up a bit, and we'll catch you next time.
You
Thank
too.
you.
Thanks,
Bye.
Jim.
Thank
Take
you.
care.
Guys.
All right. See you
Yep.
guys.
Good night.
All of you.
Bye.